It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good morning, Boston. This is the WEEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. It's Scheim and Lanny with you on a beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. Billy Lanny, what's up?
How are you, bud?
I'm good, man. First off, credit to you.
Yeah.
We like to assign credit here when credit is due.
I'll take it.
To you last week. You said, came on here, you said, you know what? It's more important for me. I'm going to root for my Pats. I'm never going to bet against them. Give me the Pats.
Yep.
You know what?
I'll take it.
Not only were you able to root for them, they won for you.
Right, exactly.
They flipping won the game.
Exactly. Have some hope, people.
It is. And then you look at this week. The Patriots are going to be at home, yep. Home opener. They got Malcolm Butler as the keeper of the light, and they're going to be hosting the Seattle Seahawks. They're going to be remembering that Super Bowl. Is that Super Bowl 38 or something
even,
like that?
Couldn't even begin to tell you at this point.
2014 Super Bowl.
Some Roman numeral.
It's my favorite Super Bowl, by the way. I don't know. Yeah, out of all the Patriots Super Bowls, it's my favorite just because I was so young for the first three.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
That I don't have, like, concrete memories of them.
Right.
But I remembered the sorrow of 07 and 11, and then just the wave of relief and gratitude I felt when Malcolm Butler made that interception.
Gotcha.
Was one of the greatest feelings I've ever had.
Yeah,
in my
life. I have a few extra ticks on the odometer than you do, so I remember the being the greatest show on turf. That whole year was just bananas.
Yeah, I was like 9 for that Super Bowl. So
you
me,
knew
it, was
it
like,
but you weren't old enough to appreciate what it really was.
I remember sitting and watching on like that really old TV in the living room, and it was kind of like snowy-ish outside. Like, I remember that, but yeah. I don't really remember the game. Like, I'd have to go back and actually watch the game.
Right.
Outside of the final drive, which you've seen a thousand times.
The defense just lit up the Rams. It was awesome. They were in their kitchen all day. It was such a great game. Not to go back however many years it's been, but it's, again, one of those things you really remember where you were, what it was. And just the story surrounding that year, like, your star quarterback goes down and this backup comes in. You're like, all right. Like, expectations weren't high to begin with.
Yeah.
Then you lose them, and then this happens, and it was just an amazing year.
Yeah, so they're going to be honoring the Seahawks Super Bowl win from 2014 this weekend, which will be great. Malcolm Butler, as I said, will be the keeper of the light, and the Patriots will get an opportunity to try and go 2-0, Billy, and maintain – not just like be or grab at. They will try and maintain a tie for first place in the AFC East.
Nuts, right? Like, we were talking the other day, like, if we can get out of this month 2-2, even you said 1-3, you'd be happy about
it.
And we closing in what could be a 3-0 start.
Jones has been on this like all week where he is firmly like, I think they might be 3-0 after the first 3 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, me and Nick got our hands on him and
really
opened his eyes a little bit.
I like
what we tried to do.
It's good. It's been great. The show sounded great. And Jones, it's funny because like I listen and I'm like, he's not wrong.
No.
Like, the Jets are beatable. If you watch what you saw against the 49ers on Monday Night Football, Jordan Mason, an undrafted guy out of Georgia Tech, ran for 175 yards on that Jets defense. So if he can do that, I would hope Ramondre can do something similar. The Patriots will play more of a possession game than San Francisco will. They won't throw the ball nearly as much.
No.
So there's a little bit of a less of a threat on that end. But, you know, if the Patriots can somehow beat Seattle, which we all thought was the most winnable game
right.
in the first half of the schedule anyways, and then you go get the Jets, like, man, this could be a better start than anyone could have imagined.
And sending a message in prime time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Imagine going 3-0.
On Thursday Night
like
Football.
The national audience will have their minds blown if they see the Patriots go 3-0. But let's get through the Seahawks first.
Yeah, so first we got the Seahawks coming up this weekend. And I look at this matchup, and prior to the season, I felt like this was one of the more winnable games. You have a rookie head coach coming West Coast to East Coast, a quarterback who has been good in spots. Last year wasn't all that great. The offensive line is horrendous. We had a ton of concerns about the New England Patriots offensive line heading into the season. This Seattle Seahawks offensive line is cheeks. Like, they are so bad. I watched the Denver Broncos get two safeties in the first half on this offensive line. They made that Denver Broncos front look like Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It was insane.
Right.
And so we come into this week like, okay, if we can do what we did last week, you literally just need to replicate the exact same game plan. Play defense, run the football. And I think the Patriots can, at the very least, keep it close, if not win this football
game. Even if you stick the same plan you had last week, running defense, and then if you can mix in some passing,
yeah,
it's only going to get better. Only going to be better.
I thought it was interesting. Van Pelt said earlier this week that there were plays on the call sheet that he would have normally wanted to call, but they didn't have on the call sheet. You guys talked to him yesterday. Did you get the sense that it was simply because it's the first week of the season, I don't want to throw my entire playbook at my players? Was it we just don't have the talent and ability to do these other things? How did you?
I took it more as, all right, here's what we have so far. Mm-hmm. Let's just execute these plays. Let's execute them well, and then we can add as the year goes on.
Yeah, I think Keefe even referenced
that. You had question marks with your offensive line. You always have question marks with Jacoby Brissett. You know, grizzled veteran. He's been out there. He's experienced, but he's still Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think they wanted to throw too much at them. That's what I took from it. I thought it was more of a, let's just get through these handful of plays, see how they go, and then we'll build from there.
Yeah, And I think that's the smart way to do it, right? A good NFL offensive coordinator doesn't just throw his entire playbook at players that have never played for him before.
Right.
Or especially a guy who has really not called plays in like 15 years. So I think that was the right move. You did want to limit your play call sheet. You didn't want to overload these guys. Even if Jacoby Brissett has played in this offense before, every other guy here hasn't. Especially a guy like Ramondre Stevenson, who your offense is kind of built around. And so for me, it indicated that, okay, there's going to be some things opening up. Jerod Mayo even made a point that there were some receivers open out there. There were passes to be had. So they're not necessarily happy yet with where the passing's at. So there's growth for this offense, which is a good sign.
Yep. And I think the thing is, too, is what we heard with Mayo's comments yesterday about May getting the percentage of reps that he's getting. I think they're doing this because the way they're installing this offense, that when Drake May does get in, you don't have to step back and reset and start all over.
You just keep your foot right on the gas.
Right, you keep everything still moving forward. So, you know, they didn't unload everything in week one. They're going to build to it and then say whatever week comes in, when May comes in, you don't have to go back to your week one playbook because you've been evolving as the year goes on.
Yeah, and he's been able to get the reps, and he has the full control of the playbook at that point.
Yep.
And then you're like, okay, now if we just switch quarterbacks, we get a higher ceiling, and we keep our foot right on the gas and keep pushing.
The smoothest transition you can make.
Now, if they were to somehow miraculously win this weekend against the Seattle Seahawks and then beat the Jets, can you still take out Jacoby Brissett at the date that they clearly have in their mind? We don't know what it is. It could be week 5. It could be week 8. I mean, with the Tua injury, week 5 makes a lot of sense now to me at home against the Dolphins. It could be week 13. I'm not really sure exactly when their target date is, but clearly they have a date in mind. They have a plan for Drake May. Otherwise, they wouldn't be giving him this amount of reps. If you have, like, I mean, Kern even said it. I think it was on your show. Like, if you have a 5-3 record, can you really go to Drake May?
Right. I think it's more of a, if you're closer to 500,
okay,
that's when you kind of make the move. Then it's like, all right, everything's been kind of a wash so far.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, you fall below 500, right to 500. It's like, all right, let's inject some energy in here, get Drake May.
If you can keep it 2 games above 500, I can't see why you would take Brissett out.
Yeah, 617-779-7937 if you want to get in on the New England Patriots, Drake May, Jacoby Brissett, the evolution of the offense. I look at this game and I think it is the perfect opportunity for Van Pelt to kind of open up the playbook a little bit. Like, I don't get scared by this defense. They have a couple good players, but overall, I never felt like the Seahawks defense was going to be great right away. Mike McDonald, it's going to take some time for him to kind of install how he wants to run his defense. And I think it might have been Jerod or Jelani Tavai on the Greg Hill show even said, like, yeah, you know, we run a lot of similar stuff to what Mike McDonald does, like defensively. And you can see it in the game where they do a lot of shifting, they do a lot of disguising of coverages. It's a lot of stuff that Belichick used to do, and Mayo has since carried over. And I feel, after week one, confident in Mayo's ability to actually coach this team.
Yeah, I hear you. And the thing is, too, and it's way too early to think this way, but it's more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Not to get too ahead of yourself, but it's kind of playing with house money.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
A little bit. You
Absolutely.
Know what I mean? It's we got one win out of the way. That's right off the bat. You win week one. It takes a little bit of pressure off you, especially as a rookie head coach, I don't want to say rookie offensive coordinator, but a new offensive coordinator and this new team and a shady offensive line. So you can go into the Seattle game and maybe try some new stuff.
Yep.
Knowing that Seattle isn't a great team, knowing that you could probably throw on them better than you could throw on the Bengals. So, again, using the term playing with house money is way too soon for week two, but I think they might have that attitude where it's like, all right, let's open it up a little bit more like we were talking about earlier.
Well, and with the New England Patriots, like, I think playing with house money is kind of spot on, right? Yeah. Like, nobody expected them to win week one.
Nope.
Literally, everybody picked against them in their survivor pools. Ha ha ha, you're the idiots. Shout out to Keith Hart, Terp, and Wiggy. Good job by you guys. But they kind of are. Nobody expected them to be 1-0 here. I mean, Devon Godshaw went off about them being underdogs and called the PFF people idiots. We're not the ones who set the lines, by the way. Right. That's Vegas, just a heads up. But I think they kind of feel like they have, like, they just hit the jackpot on blackjack or roulette or whatever, and it's like, all right, I'm going to stick the money I came in with back in my pocket, and let's just get wild with this extra cash.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope it becomes that. I hope each week you start to see growth.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing.
I agree.
You're not looking to see, okay, hey, you don't look at a win in week one and say, oh,
season's great.
12-win team.
Everything's great.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're at a point now where, like, wow, if we can be a 500 team,
yeah,
that's way better than what anybody expected them to be. So to watch that develop is going to be fun over the next few weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, not, you know, for my own personal reasons, really sets them off on the right foot for that over 4.5 on the season. And makes a...
Did you all put money on it?
Oh, yeah, of course I did. Kidding me? That was
Do you remember what it was last year?
I believe the total last year was like 6.5 or 7.5.
Yeah, it was 7.5.
It was 7.5. Okay, so it was a few games more. Gotcha.
Yeah, and they came well underneath that 7.5.
Because I had a loser on that one.
Yeah, that was tough. Well, I mean, you know, that's what'll happen when Mac Jones is your quarterback and Bailey Zappe. But regardless, I feel really good about the Patriots this Sunday. I'm excited. This is the most hopeful I've been watching a Patriots team in like 5 years, 4 years. Since Tom Brady left?
Yeah, basically.
Like, it was Cam Newton. I never really felt very hopeful. It's like, all right, we'll be pretty good, but we know what Cam Newton is. He's kind of washed.
Mm.
Like, it's chalked. Like, don't worry about it. You're not winning the Super Bowl. And then Mac came in. I was never a big fan of Mac. Other people, you know, gave him a chance and liked what they saw in his rookie year, but that never really went anywhere. And so, like, now it's just like, I see the light at the end of the tunnel.
I got it. And what's good about that, too, is, like, you're seeing that light at the end of the tunnel with Jacoby Brissett as the quarterback.
Oh, the lights are going to get brighter with Drake May.
So our excitement level has gone up because of it. It's still Jacoby Brissett, and then it's like, wow, we still have Drake May in the bullpen if we need him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then to watch him develop is going to be another thing that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and I really hope, I'm really hopeful that we get to see him sooner rather than later. I have this sinking suspicion just because of how well the Patriots may play, and, and this may be just me overreacting to week one, but like I feel like now I'm not going to see him till week 13, but at least if I see him this season, I think I'll be happy. And I think one of the other two things too, going into Sunday, the big injury news for Kenneth Walker still has not practiced all this week. He's doubtful for the Seattle Seahawks, so that's their number one running back. He was their best form of offense against the Denver Broncos in week one. So to have to go to Zach Charbonnet, who's good, but not, like, he is a lesser version of Ramondre Stevenson, in my opinion, is good for the New England Patriots, right? It takes a lot of pressure off of those backers in front four, and allows kind of the defensive backs to really get after it against guys like DK Metcalf and Jackson Smith and Jigba and Tyler
Lockett. And it's another good thing to watch this week is the secondary against these receivers.
Mm-hmm.
You're going against another team with a couple of good receivers on their team, so it's going to be good to sit there and watch what Christian Gonzalez does back there. It's nice. I'm excited, man.
Yeah, 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on the New England Patriots this week. We'll be talking Pats all morning. We will. Actually, I got to do this right now.
You want to get it out of the way now?
Yeah, we got to get this out of the way now. Billy, did you see that Red Sox game last night?
I did see that Red Sox game last night.
I was very disappointed with that Red Sox game last night. I could not fathom the result of that Red Sox game. I believe the sequence was Sox are up 4-0, off to a great start. You get good 5 innings off the bat from, was it Dick Fitz, right?
Yep.
And you're off to a great start, and then walk, RBI single, walk to load the bases.
Dingo.
Aaron Judge Grand Slam.
It's over.
Yep.
And it might be. Do you think the Red Sox are officially cooked?
I can't say it, but I think they are. I think they are. It's. And again, last night too was like Yoshida 2-run homer. Like, all right, here we go.
Yeah, it's like, all right, let's cook.
2-run homer. All right, here we go. And then it's like, oh right, the bullpen.
That moment of realization, where you're like, Oh,
and that was like, and it was said before the show, like the ball came off Aaron Judge's bat, and you're like, oh Jesus! And I thought it was tagged, and it kind of went, you know, a few rows back of the on the you know, few rows back for the home run, but it left the bat, and I'm like, that was the nail.
Yeah, two tough losses in a row against the Yankees for the Sox. One in extra innings, and then that one last night where Aaron Judge just rips your heart out.
Yeah, what do you got? 14 games left, 4.5 back. You're behind the Mariners and the Tigers. They're both each a full game ahead of you. Seattle's 3.5 back. Detroit's 2.5 back. You're 4.5 back. Yeah,
you're in a tough spot.
You're in a very, very tough spot.
And I'm still in the hunt, too. I had a bet on our program, the Greg Hill Show, with Greg's buddy, Baseball Brett.
Okay.
The over-under of 77.5.
Okay.
Really going to come down to the wire on this one because the way the Sox are trending.
Yeah,
you should be good.
Yeah, four more.
I have the under.
You have the under.
Yeah, I have the under.
Oh,
that's
right.
Why I might come down to the wire.
Okay, so four wins in 14 games. I'm like, that's not impossible. But then it's, okay, so yeah, you're probably going to lose that bet.
But I think you said it best, Billy, this morning before the show. You know what? They got us to Patriots.
Yeah, that's all we ask.
They were competitive right up to football season. And
yep.
That's about all we could ask. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in this morning. 37937 if you want to text in. Texts already rolling in. There's one that we will definitely address on the other side here. But right now, Zach wants to get you caught up with what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fell to the Yankees last night, 5-4, the final from the Bronx. Sox entered the seventh inning with a 4-0 lead, and then Aaron Judge did this.
Pitch. High drive, deep left field, forget about it. A slam for Judge, and the Yankees lead it 5-4.
Sox now sit 4.5 games back of the Twins for the final wild card spot with just 14 games left. They'll be back in action this afternoon when Brian Baio takes the mound opposite Gerrit Cole. Our coverage of that game kicks off at 12:05 with Joe Weil on the MassMutual pregame show. Then Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming will have the call of the game on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch set 4:07:05. Pat's getting ready for their Week 2 matchup at Gillette against the Seattle Seahawks. Already ruling out guard City So with an ankle injury. Safety Kyle Duggar, D-end Dietrich Wise, running back J. Michael Hasty, and guard Leighton Robinson are all listed as questionable. Meanwhile, for the Seahawks, they'll be without linebacker Uchenna Nwosu and tight end Pharaoh Brown, while star running back Kenneth Walker is listed as doubtful. In other NFL news, the 49ers have ruled out their star running back Christian McCaffrey for their Week 2 matchup with a calf injury. McCaffrey, of course, missed the 49ers' Week 1 opener against the Jets. Finally, your 24th-ranked Boston College Eagles are in action this afternoon, heading down south for a top 25 matchup against number 6 Mizzou. Kickoff set for 12:45. My name's Zach Coe. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is the WEEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Shime and Lanny with you on a nice, beautiful Saturday morning. You going to watch any of the BC football game today? BC Mizzou?
I'll check in on it. Not much of a college football guy.
24th-ranked BC, though.
I know. It's good to have a ranked team in town.
Is
but,
is there any height in the rankings that would get you interested in Boston college football?
No.
Okay.
And that's the thing. It's like I've never been a college football guy.
Yeah, I get that. That's
you know
fair.
What I mean? I think that just kind of stems from like how I was brought up. My dad was never really into it. My brother was never really into it. So I never really got into it, you know? And I'll check highlights and I'll flip by the game today. Again, they're a ranked team going against a number 6 team. So, of course, like even if you put aside who the teams are, you're like, all right, let's see this upset.
You know? Absolutely.
It's more about that than anything else. But I've never watched a BC game thinking like, ooh, we need that guy.
Yeah, I'm excited. BC's been good the first 2 weeks. They kicked the crap out of Duquesne last week. They get Mizzou this week. Great test for the 24th-ranked Eagles. Billy O joins the Greg Hill Show every Thursday as well, so if you ever want to check that out, feel free. You can also listen to that on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There you go.
Billy O, great interview.
Yeah, we had him a couple weeks ago.
He sounds so much different than when he was on the Patriots.
Right?
He just feels like a free man.
Yeah, the 10 to 2 show had him on, might have been right after he was hired. Mm-hmm. Right after he was hired. And like, you could almost hear the weight off his shoulders.
Yes, he feels like a free man. Like, he just feels like a whole new human
Even
being.
Even with all the headaches that come with being a college football head coach.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't seem fazed by it. You think there was more on his plate as a college head coach as opposed to a professional offensive coordinator.
He seems a lot more like Mayo does, to be honest with you. Like Billy, like when we talk to Billy O every Thursday, he seems very free. He's laughing. He's joking. He's not afraid to make jokes or have jokes made at his expense. Like, he has a personality. Yeah. He's not afraid to share that. And I think Mayo is very similar in that regard. Is that just like, you think that's just like the evolution of coaches?
Yes.
Or is it just, we had it for so long with Belichick, it's just like the complete opposite is just jarring?
A little bit of both, but I think a lot of it has to do with coaching nowadays is more of the just another one of the guys' attitude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There aren't the old, dusty, crusty coaches anymore.
Especially when you look around the NFL, like, it's like Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, the two Harbaughs are pretty old, but there are a ton of young coaches.
Yeah, there's maybe a half a dozen grizzled veteran coaches in the NFL, and the rest of them.
Those are just the really good ones.
Right, are these young guys with gelled hair and short beards and like jogging pants on? You know
They're
what I mean?
They're pretty handsome, though.
Absolutely.
Sean McVay, handsome guy.
Handsome guy. Right, right. I think with the guy in Miami there.
Mike McDaniel.
I've been confusing McDaniel and McDonald.
It's so hard.
You know
Mike
what I mean?
McDaniel, Mike McDonald has gotten me five or six times this week.
But again, these young coaches, they connect with the players more. Yeah. And I think that you're seeing that across all sports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why do people, baseball's first move is like, you don't have your Tony La Russas and your Tommy Lasordas and Jim Leland's anymore. You have guys that are been out of the game.
Alex Cora.
Right. Been out of the game maybe 5 years and they're right to the bench because modern day players connect to guys who have done it recently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't, like, young players don't care about older coaches' resumes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I thought that about like the Celtics. I'm like, young players aren't going to come in here and be like, wow, look at all those dusty banners up there. I want that. It's like, no, I want to be on a winning team. Show me why we're going to get another one as opposed to what we were.
Yeah, it's why it's weird to say, but it's like almost that the Celtics team would have responded differently if their coach was Popovich than compared to or Steve Kerr compared to their coach being Joe Mazzulla.
Joe Mazzulla, right.
Hey, the attitude of the team is just different.
Yeah, this guy does jujitsu. This guy lives off coffee. He's wired. You know what I mean? Like, he's doing everything he can.
He wants to see the red dot sight between his eyes.
Right. And again, he's what, 37, 38, if even that.
He's barely older than Al Horford.
Yeah.
I think Horford's older than him. Yeah.
I think Horford's older than him. But that's just the thing. I think it's across all sports where the modern day player connects better to a coach who's closer to their age as opposed to somebody who's dusty and ripping cigarettes and drinking black coffee and just getting after it, you know?
Yeah, and it's tough because I think a lot of people, and we have this discussion a lot in the morning because I think Greg falls on the category like, oh, players nowadays are too soft. And I don't know that it's necessarily about being soft.
Right.
Like, I think you're more right where it's like the connection that they have to the coach. Like, that, whether it's emotional or a relationship connection that they have to the coach matters to the player nowadays.
Yep.
And I think that's the big difference. It's not necessarily like, I mean, you look at Jim Montgomery and Bruce Cassidy, perfect example here in the city, right? The players all here love Jim Montgomery, but Bruce Cassidy also just went and won a Stanley Cup the very next year with the Golden Knights. And I think it was Jonathan Marchessault had said this week, he's like, we would MF each other all year.
Right.
He would yell at me. We'd be dropping F-bombs at each other all year. But then at the end of the season, we won the Stanley Cup. What am I going to say?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's the dude. It's not you feeling like, it's not like a school teacher. You know what I mean? That doesn't. They don't have that attitude anymore where it's like, I can't say something because I'm going to be in trouble for it.
Yeah, it's not Gordon Bombay here because the court made me.
Yeah, exactly. And then he's continued. He had the chance to go back to being a lawyer. He's like, no, I'm sticking with youth hockey. I'm sticking with not getting paid to coach youth hockey. But no, that's this. It doesn't mean the players are soft. It's just what the players connect to better now. And the thing is, too, it's like you can't do what you did 20 years ago. They don't have two-a-days.
No, they don't.
They're limiting the days that you have pads on. So I think with training camp for the Patriots, Mayo took advantage of as much as he could when it came to contact and pads and stuff like that.
Well, I also think, like, the guys, I think the whole take it to the hill mantra that they've kind of adopted comes from that, like, Mayo works these guys pretty hard.
Right.
Like, he clearly has a really good relationship with all of his players, but he also works their ass off, like, in practice.
Yep.
He kicks their ass. He makes sure they're conditioned. He makes sure they're in shape. And, like, that matters to him.
Yep.
And so there's some of it's a good, I think, blend of that old school mentality from the 2-a-days, the Parcells days, stuff like
right.
that, mixed in with the, okay, like the current, like, I'm going to be your friend and we're going to have a relationship coach.
Yep, the because I said so attitude doesn't exist
Correct.
Anymore.
100%,
you know
which
I mean?
I think matters because we go back to Mac Jones. That was his big thing, right? He's like, coach says something. He's like, well, why? I need to know the why. That
right.
was the big thing. Mac Jones likes to know why.
Right,
and Bill's
right.
like, because I effing said so,
right.
go do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not my parent.
Yeah.
Tell me why I'm doing this. Like, you are my coach. You're supposed to coach me.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to tell me. Like, you're supposed to coach me.
I'm the one who has to actually go do it.
Right.
Like, show me what I'm supposed to do and why, and then I can go do it.
Yep. It's as simple as that. And I think that's why these players have connected with Mayo so well, because he's done it, because he's young,
yep.
and because he's doing it with that. He's not using the because I said so attitude. Hey, why are we doing this? Well, we're doing this because X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
It's not just get out there and do it because I said do it.
Yeah, absolutely. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in this morning. Matt in Westchester wants to talk about the Sox game that me and Billy were talking about before trending last segment. Go ahead, Matt.
Morning, Jim. How are you?
Good.
Because I got to be honest, I'm born and raised here in New York. I went to them play the Mets last week, and it was the same thing. You know, you had okay starts. But this time it was dominant. You know what I mean? Like, you put the kid who is a rookie, said, hey, have fun in the teeth of the Bronx, which has been like the proverbial arrow in the Achilles heel of this team for God knows how many years. And he goes out there and shoves. You put up 4 runs and you can't give him a single freaking win? Are you kidding me? It's disgusting. Like, I don't understand. Craig Breslow Thursday, I listen to Greg Hill show all the time, saying that this is a successful deadline. If it was a successful deadline, you would have brought in an arm that could actually help them instead of hinder them. This is absurd. Watching this team has made me lose my mind all season. And I'll let you guys talk about it. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks,
appreciate
Matt.
The call, Matt. Yeah, I think Matt speaks for a lot of fans. And we kind of tried to get that out of Craig on Thursday. Curtis had asked, he's like, do you blame Alex Cora at all for kind of the collapse here in the second half of the season? It seems like it's a recurring theme. Is it Cora? Is it the players? And Brez was like, well, yeah, no, it's not Cora. Like, I think Alex has done a really good job, blah, blah, blah. And then Curtis immediately fired back with a, well, then did you just not help him enough at the deadline? And it's like, well, you know, I did the best I could with the information I had.
And
like,
they extended Cora.
Yeah.
So they're obviously don't have an issue with Cora.
No,
they don't
it's
think
it,
they
not
don't
Cora.
Think it, they know it's not a Cora issue.
Yeah, they didn't bring in the arm talent
right.
to help this team.
He's only doing what we can give him to work with. He's only working with what we give him.
I can't just it's almost comical the kind of collapse they had last night.
I know.
It is remarkable.
It wasn't surprising. It was just frustrating.
Yeah.
Is what it was. You weren't surprised by it. You were just like, come on. Like, you had a 4-0 lead and it was just gone quicker than a hiccup.
But we were talking about the Patriots before Matt's call. 617 text. Everything you're saying about the Patriots is describing them as soft. I don't think that's the case.
No. I mean soft is not getting out there and playing every day. Soft is not going to practice every day. Soft is not showing up. Like, they're showing up. They have a different attitude than the old school football player. It's not the hand in the dirt. Let's get dirty. Let's get physical. Let's do this. Life is different. Sports are different. The evolution has changed how sports are, how you prepare for sports. It's unfair to say they're soft.
Yeah, and I also think that it's unfair to say that about them before they've even really faced adversity, right? Like, if they're, you know, if they have a lead and crap all over themselves in a game, or if they just get absolutely pumped and show no fight in coming back or something like that, then it's like,
right,
when
you can visually see that this team has given up, then you can call them soft.
Yeah, exactly. But when they go out and they beat a Cincinnati team that no one picked them to win against, except for Stiz, shout out to Stiz, and you had it as well. But like, nobody picked them to win, and then they go out and they beat a Cincinnati team. How can you say that the way Mayo is doing things makes these players soft? Like,
right.
It's, they have this, they literally, their mantra is literally take them to the hill, which is, yeah, we're going to go and be more, have better stamina, be more trained, be better trained at the end of the game when everybody's tired than the other team.
Yep.
And like, we're going to drag them down with us. And that's, that is like the farthest thing
from
soft.
It's not soft. Yeah, exactly. It's not soft at all.
Yeah, which is, it's wild to me. I never kind of understood that. Another text for you, Billy, here. Where did it go? 508 text. The fact that we, do you know what nobody's talked about yet?
What's
the
that?
Fact that we could still have drafted Marvin Harrison and Jacoby Brissett for our quarterback.
Okay, let's go back to that.
The whole thing is, as Billy and I were talking about earlier, they want the offense to kind of get to full gear.
Yep.
With Jacoby Brissett, once they have the entire playbook installed, Drake May will continue to get his 30% reps in practice, and then when you swap the two, it's
smooth. It's a smooth transition. It's a
all
soft,
systems
it's a soft transition.
A soft transition. Yes, exactly. Perfect transition.
It's all in the preparation. You're building towards it. They're not coming out of the gates. You know, they're not going to show you everything week one. You know what I mean? Let's get through the week, and then again, you build off each win. You build off each loss. It's something we're going to be watching all season. The evolution of this team under a new head coach.
Now, do you think there's a chance that they could blow out the Seahawks, or it's always their wins this season are always just going to be close wins?
No, I don't think there's. I mean, they might have some blowouts in there, but I don't think there's going to be many of them. I think this is when I look at this team, I start to look back, and I hate to keep doing this because it's 20 years ago. But like Brady's first couple of years, like how many blowout wins did they have? They were getting by on defense. They were getting by on game management,
sure,
and clock management and stuff like that. I think it's kind of that same thing. They're not going to be this, you know, highlight reel of game of, you know, plays and, you know, touchdowns and this, that, and the other thing. I think they're going to grind out these games and they're going to pull out some wins.
Yeah, it's going to be a low scoring affair generally every week. Like, I mean, the betting total again this week, 38.5. Last week was 40. Like, it's not. It's never going to be upwards in those high 40s. They're never going to be considered, you know, 27-24 games. It's just kind of not how this offense is built.
And we talked about it last week. It was talked about all preseason. There's going to be a lot of games where you're going to bet the under. The expectations are they're not the greatest show on turf. They're not this high-flying offense that's going to be slinging it and running it and this. They're going to try to their best to grind out the wins because that's the team. That's what they have to do is with the team they have.
Yeah, and this is a week, too, where you could see a game that's like, you know, 14-10, like 12-7.
Right. Like
weird.
I'm thinking my guess is like 17-7. You know what I mean? Something like that. Like nothing crazy. Like, be curious, like how long it takes the Patriots to get to 30 points without
single game.
Right. Without a pick six, without a fumble, without a scoop and score.
Oh, man. Without a scoop and score, I don't know that they'd get there.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, can their offense put up a 30-point game without the help of the defense? Other than stopping the other
looking
team.
Looking at the schedules.
I'm talking no turnovers, no, like I said, no pick sixes, no scoop and scores.
Maybe against the Cardinals? That's
maybe.
About it.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, and that's in week 14. So, like, I don't.
Right. And at that point, you could have May in there.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I don't think anybody's expecting May to come in and sling it and chuck it down the field.
Yeah, well, I would hope so. But regardless of that fact, like, it's just, it's going to be a lot of nail biters, which is kind of good for a fan, right? It keeps you engaged in the full game. Like, as long as it's not sloppy, ugly, close football, like, it's good. It's engaging.
Right. You're going to have something worth watching every Sunday.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Like,
absolutely.
I don't know how many
be out of it entirely.
Right, exactly. The game's going to be close enough where it's going to hold your attention as opposed to them blowing somebody out or them getting blown out. Like, I don't see that happening often. I think a lot of games are going to keep our attention all year.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this weekend. I think the Patriots, I mean, God, can you imagine starting 2-0 in a season where, like, people like Andy Hart were like, yeah, they're never going to win a game.
that Hart thing is just, like, it was all over Twitter. Like, the second they won the game, it's like, let's retweet this from whatever date he said it.
The best.
And it was the funniest thing about it, too, is, like, with the video, like, people just saw the headline and heard, like, the first 15 seconds. And Hart was just kind of like, I could see it. Well, it wasn't like he flat out, and he's like, this is a zero.
But then he dug in. Like, as soon as people started picking it up, he dug in harder.
That's the problem with this business. Yeah. Once you put it out there, it's written in stone.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's always been my thing with radio. It's like, it's infested with hot takes.
Because
the problem with hot takes is hot takes are written in stone. As opposed to having an opinion, and you can change your opinion. Your opinion can change over time as things change. But when you come out with, like, a hot take, it's written in stone, and you are branded with it.
To Hart's credit, I will give him credit. He did say to me one time, he's like, you know, the best thing for me is that they do go 0-17.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Or that they win week one and I just get dumped on. And I go,
well, there was.
There was.
There was. Because deep down, like, Andy Hart doesn't want a zero-win season.
Nobody does.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you throw things out there and it's like, oh, all right, let's see what happens. Here's why I have this crazy thought.
Well, and everybody just thought that, like, they weren't convinced that Mayo was going to be able to do this right away and be able to have a team come out and be disciplined. And, you know, I mean, First kickoff of the game, we get an illegal formation
first
penalty.
Before the season even started, there's a penalty
the
right off the
clock hadn't
bat.
Even ticked yet, and we had a flag.
I was talking about it with Nick during the week. I was like, that play happened, and I immediately put myself in the position of the grounds crew in Major League. You've seen Major League,
yes.
Right? And it was like the first thing happened. I'm like, yep, they're still S-y. You know what I mean? Yep. They're still not that good, but again, they turned things around and got the W.
617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in this morning. We've been talking Pats all morning long. Billy, when we come back here, I want to ask you what games you're watching this week. Looking across the football schedule, what games really catch your eye? We'll go over our survival pool picks as well, kind of where we're at there. We'll be back with more here on the WEEI Producers Show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. It's Shimon Lanny with you here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. This is the WEEI Producer Show. Final segment here before we pass it over to Ken and Curtis this wonderful Saturday morning.
Are they in studio today? Oh, they can't.
I saw Ken here already. I don't think they went to Fenway.
They'd be to Fenway. I wasn't sure.
Oh, yeah,
and then
Bronx,
BC's on the road, so it wouldn't be like they were there for that. So
perfect. Yeah,
so they're stuck in Brighton.
Nice, cool. So we'll be able to say hello to them as well on our way out. But Billy, the one thing I wanted to talk about here, heading out. The slate of NFL football we got this weekend.
Yep.
Of course, we'll be watching Patriots and Seahawks 1 o'clock on Sunday. That's a given. What other games really stand out to you here that you are dying to check out?
Okay, so dying to check out is a bold word, but as a Patriots fan, I work my way from the middle out. So
Okay. Obviously
the Patriots game, and then I go from the division. So the Bills and the Dolphins already played. The Bills got the win. So Jets-Titans I'm looking forward to just because it's a division game. And then also the like Chiefs-Bengals.
Yeah.
Chiefs-Bengals is always
so
a good game.
So I'm curious, I feel like there's a chance that that's just not a good game this week.
So you think the loss to the Patriots killed the buzz on that game?
It's just, are the Bengals just bad?
We're going to find out.
I mean, like,
we're going to find out. Like the notorious slow starters.
T. Higgins probably isn't going to play again this week. We still don't know the status of Jamar Chase. Like, is he better? Is he healthy? Like, what's the deal with it? Does he even want to be there?
Right.
And then that defense is terrible. And then Joe Burrow, there's this whole controversy. Did you see this? Where people are over-diagnosing him grabbing a water bottle.
Oh, that he had a wrist injury because the way he drank.
He had the wrist injury from last year.
They re-aggravated his wrist injury.
Yeah, and he was like massaging the wrist the whole game.
Yeah.
And then like went to grab the water bottle, couldn't really hold it with that hand, and had to like support it with his left.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I don't know. I am very apprehensive about this Bengals team. Mm. I didn't have them making the playoffs in the first place. I thought there were way too many red flags.
Yeah, yeah, no, then they're not healthy, and the quarterback is probably dealing with another wrist injury and losing to the Patriots. So I can see why it would have killed some of the buzz for the Chiefs game. But again, it's always a matchup I enjoy watching. Other games that would probably be on my radar, I enjoy watching the Ravens. You know what I mean? I don't expect much out of the Raiders, but the Ravens are always, I enjoy watching those guys.
Lamar Jackson is just so much fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you mentioned the Jets game.
Yeah.
Do you expect Aaron Rodgers to bounce back strong after the tough week against the 49ers?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can't say anything because I don't know where he is with the Achilles. I don't know where he is with his mindset going forward.
Because he could clearly throw the football well in that game.
Right.
Like, the arm talent is still all there. He still sees the defense. He still processes everything very well.
Mm.
It's more so just the ability to move. He doesn't look as spry as he once was.
No, no. Well, I mean, he's closing in on 40.
He might be 40.
Right, he's closing in on 40, and you deal with the leg injury, your body works from the bottom up, you know, so it's probably a lot of, you know, a couple steps back throwing type thing, you know, so, but again, the arm's there. He hasn't, you know, the arm strength, I feel, is probably one of the last things to go, so it's fun having him in the division. Hopefully he stays healthy, hopefully you get a full season out of him, because, yeah, the AFC East is going to be fun to watch. I mean, minus Dolphins, what they're dealing with now with Tua, that poor bastard.
That's so tough. Do you think he has to retire at this point? Is that kind of where your head's at?
Yeah, I think so, because like three of them, like they're like, oh, well, he's had three diagnosed ones. It's like, okay.
Well, so how many has he actually had?
Right, exactly. That's the scary part about it, is the science with the concussions, how it's evolved over the past few years and stuff like that. Like, we don't really know. And, you know, his lifestyle going forward is way more important than being the quarterback of the Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, as a father of two young kids, like, he's a husband.
Right.
I mean, he did just get that massive contract, which would help with his future. And
yeah,
like,
but even if they have to, you know, call out the insurance on that, and he only ends up with so much. Like, look,
You gotta do. You make sure you're doing the right things with the money you do have, if it does come to an end. Because it's just, it's tough to see those. Like, this.
Watch that fencing motion. It's so tough to watch.
Yeah,
it feels so bad.
So many guys have had their heads hit and their bell rung, but like you're seeing him and his hands are getting, his hands are curling up. Like it's affecting his brain in a way I haven't seen
before.
Before,
yeah,
it's scary to see. And like the guy's awesome, and you want to see him be healthy, but him having a healthy life is way more important than what he does on the field.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I remember the first time we kind of saw that too against the Bengals on Thursday Night Football a couple years ago, because I had just driven down to Maryland, and I remember like popping into a restaurant and like, oh yeah, let's watch Thursday Night Football and just like grab dinner. And then I watched the play happen. I was like, "Oh yeah. My god!" And then and then to see it happen again,
right?
Like the other night was just, that's really tough, man. I you know,
scary stuff.
And it's hard because right, like this is his livelihood. This is something
all
like
he knows.
This is his passion,
yep.
And it's just, it comes to a point where it's like you have to consider your own safety.
Right. I'm just gonna look up because he's not that old. He's only 26.
I would say 27 was my guess.
Yeah, he was 26 in March, so he's failed. You know,
wow.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. But again, these guys, they don't know anything else.
No,
they don't know anything else. It's I don't like to usually cross sports, but it's like boxing. Like these guys get their heads hit so many times, but in the long run, it's like, well, what else am I supposed to do? This is really my life has been dedicated to this, and for you to be like, all right, you're done at 26 years old. It's going to be a tough pill to swallow, and it's tough because that sport thrives off of next man up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Guys get guaranteed money. That's a ton of money, but nothing's guaranteed, you know,
nothing's fully guaranteed.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you have that attitude. It's like, well, I got to get out there or else I'm going to lose my job. And that's the worst part about football is the ability to cut ties with a player so quickly.
Yeah. It's
that
just,
these guys are like,
you
well,
just
I gotta,
move on.
Yeah.
The machine just keeps chugging.
Yep. Right. Exactly. Like I can't even imagine what he's dealing with right now with a million things going through his head. Like, is this worth it? Is this even, like you said, he's got young kids. He's a young guy with a young family.
You have
family,
to have long
like,
talks with your family. About
right.
It.
Right. And luckily this, you know, we see it like these guys get jobs at the desk. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you have
he could go get an announcer gig tomorrow. Like, he's a handsome guy. He seems relatively well put together.
If you can form sentences on the camera, they're going to find work for you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And you almost hope that. And like, he doesn't
even if you
want
can't
that,
really
like,
form sentences. I mean, look at Perk sometimes.
No,
Perk just gets out there,
but he's entertaining.
He's saying, yeah, well, that's true.
But it's entertaining, is what it is. And it's I've had my bell rung a couple times, and it sucks because you look back and now they say like, well, that was a concussion.
Yeah,
and these guys have had their bell rung. How many times, you know, and they're finding ways to pass these tests to get back on the field. It's scary, man. When you mess with the brain, there's nothing else. Like,
well, so
once the brain goes, you're done. Like,
Jabril Peppers is going to be wearing the Guardian cap this season.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that the NFL has tried to come out with to try and help with head injuries. And so, like, I don't blame him. Like, especially after you watch what happened to Tua on Thursday Night Football, where it's like, he didn't even really get hit super hard. He kind of like dove wrong and like, Damar Hamlin was kind of like in the way. It was super unlucky
and
situation.
It wasn't like Hamlin put a shoulder to his head.
No, it was like helmet to helmet or anything.
Like,
yeah,
I think he hit like his bicep or something. But like you just saw the way his
the
head
angle
turned.
Just,
it's scary to watch. It's scary to think about what these guys have to, the decisions they have to make when it comes to this stuff. But hey, if they give you the option of the Guardian cap, why not wear it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Jabril Peppers wearing, you look at it, you're like, wow, he looks like that Martian on Looney Tunes. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like
Marvin Martian.
Yeah, like something like that. Like, it looks a little ridiculous, but like, you think about why it's there. You're like, all right, I get
it. It's going to give you any extra protection. Like, go for it.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Because you look back at football back in the days, and these guys were big old shoulder pads. Like, I always wondered what Bo Jackson and Barry Sanders would have done in this league, this NFL, with like the evolution of how the shoulder pads have kind of shrunk down. Right, you know, but. It's not worth it, man. It's scary. It's scary to see it. It's scary to think about what he's dealing with. And again, these guys just think like, I have to get out there.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose my job if I'm not out there. So the pressure of playing in the NFL is insane.
We hope the best for Tua and his family. But before we get out of here, Billy, real quick, predictions on the pass game. Do they win? What's the score? What do we got?
Patriots, like I said earlier, I'm taking the Patriots 17-7.
Ooh, 17-7.
Seventeen seven.
Okay, I will go Pats 18-13.
All right.
weird
18, huh?
Yeah, funky
like
this. Score.
How do we get to that 18? We'll get there.
Yeah, one way or another. It's, you know, maybe like a two touchdowns, an extra point, and a two-point conversion.
Yeah, all right, let's see it.
You know, something like that. But either way, safety mixed in.
All right, there we go. Yeah. But, yeah, okay, so we both got a W for this weekend. Let's
see. Yeah, I'll take the W. I think the Pats win. I'll bet them on the money line. I'm in.
Yeah, let's see, that's the thing. Like, I'm taking the Pats, and then the score is just kind of a guess.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? My heart is telling me.
Well, I nailed the score on WEI Football Sunday last week. Nailed the score.
Did you really? Nice.
Wrong teams.
Oh, okay.
I had Bengals 16.
Gotcha.
But this will do it for the WEI Producer Show right here. It has been Shime and Lanny with you this first hour of Saturday morning. Stay right here, though, on WEI as Ken and Curtis got you next. We'll see you next Saturday.
Later.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.